afternoon and welcome once again in the doctor's office here on WOR. In the doctor's office is heard each Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. with your host, Richard N. Ash, M.D., to answer all of your medical and nutritional concerns on the phone, on the air. Dr. Ash is medical director of the Ash Center for Comprehensive Medicine at 800 A 5th Avenue at 61st Street in Manhattan. Now let's join our host, Richard N. Ash, M.D., here in the doctor's office.
Thank you, Dick, and welcome, friends. Thank you for joining me here in the doctor's office. We're here every Sunday between 5 and 7, and the number to call is 212-528-0129. That's 212-528-0129. We have many people accessing the show anywhere in the world, as long as you have a connection to the Internet through AshCenter.com, and you can listen to the live show or listen to any of the archive shows on the web. Also, our store is still open in Sag Harbor called Well Nest, and it's just closed Tuesdays and Wednesdays, but with the nice weather this weekend, lots of people have been in, and we'll be open all season, and that there you can access the Pure Essential line, the nutritious and delicious products, which it's almost hard to keep on the shelf. How many people just taking the wholesome meal replacement or just as a breakfast, but it gives you 5 hours of satisfaction and sustained energy. And I have it every morning, and it's amazing how well you feel. It's hard to almost match food the way you feel on that. And if you have the type of intake of food, you could really feel satisfied. And how many people just don't eat properly in the morning? And that brings up some of the statistics that I've found to share with you. You know, 1 in 3 Americans are overweight, and that's the adult American adults. 1 in 9 adult American men weigh more than 250 pounds. 1 in 6 American women weigh more than 200 pounds. 15% of the American populations of children are overweight or obese, and that talks about 9 million children. So we have a problem in terms of what people eat and what they know and how that affects their body. Unfortunately, most of the things we learn in medical school don't guide us in terms of what we could teach our patients. And I kind of learned the hard way, but I was, if you're just listening for the first time, on 20 milligrams of prednisone or cortisone a day for 2.5 years, having been on it for joint pain and inflammation, having been through all the anti-inflammatory medicines from naproxen to high doses of naproxen and any of the anti-inflammatory medicines, ultimately on prednisone, I realized I couldn't stay on it. Besides affecting your blood sugar, it could affect your blood pressure, it could affect your weight, causes yeast problems, and has a whole range of problems and negative effects, and truly the major negative effect is depletes or inhibits your own adrenal gland for its ability to make its own cortisol. And if your body can't make it, when you try to decrease that medication, very hard to come off it because your body doesn't then start to make prednisone. Matter of fact, every month or two you're on cortisone or prednisone, it inhibits your adrenal gland to make it for about a year. So you can imagine how many people that have autoimmune disease, rheumatoid arthritis, psoriasis, asthma, sinusitis, any allergic situation or situation where your body attacks itself, you get placed on these medicines almost as a initial therapy. Having been on it for a while, it becomes very difficult to get off. But the reason why I'm talking about that truly is to explain how I got into this field, having gotten off these medications, then learned there's a better way of treating my patients, and truly I had to learn how to get off it, which was a challenge. But when you start to look at your diet, see how acidic your diet can make you, how certain things will then generate the acidity, it's really not the fat, but the acidity that makes people fat. And any program to address just the symptoms is really not going to get the source of the problem. And that's the problem we have with America today and the obesity that exists today. It's not by all the fad diets that people try to lose weight. It's not calories. It's not carbs. It's not cholesterol. It's a combination of events in which the generation of what things do to your body either makes it alkaline or makes it acidic. And as you get more and more acidic, it becomes more of a problem because the fat in the body is designed to help you neutralize the negative effects of the acid. So if you're acidic, it's very hard to lose fat. You hold on to the fat. As you get more and more acidic, the other tie is your adrenal gland and cortisol levels start to get out of hand, in which you now store fat. So I think that many doctors and many nutritionalists, if you're not focusing on the acidity and what makes you acidic and focus on all the different players that add up to the total situation, you're going to have cell breakdown and a self-preservation mode where your body just will hold on to the fat to protect you against the acid, and it's going to be very difficult to effectively get healthy or lose weight. You're going to wind up damaging your cells and having various symptoms, whether it's tiredness, whether it's absorption issues, whether you're eating properly or not. Many times, sometimes people are eating properly and not absorbing properly. So that's why we do certain testing in our office to evaluate not just one of those things, but to evaluate a bunch of the things to functionally improve your health. And that's why when we take care of people, we're not just going after losing weight. We're going after making you healthy or maximizing the effectiveness of how your body works. So we'll look at certain tests. We'll look at blood, saliva, urine tests, which most doctors don't do, when someone comes in fasting, and we see how acidic they are. And many people come in with a urine of 4.5, 5. They need to be somewhere between 6.5 and 7.5. But that tells us that the body tries to urinate the acid out, and when it makes more than you could urinate it out, it builds up in the body. And some of the early signs of acidity could just be hypertension. What does the doctor do? Give you a diuretic. And surely that could lower the amount of fluid retention, because your body normally retains fluid when you're acidic. So you retain fluid, your blood pressure rises, the doctor gives you a diuretic. What does that do? It lowers your calcium, lowers your magnesium, and it can even raise your blood pressure again, even though it gets rid of the fluid temporarily. So we have a problem called whatever it is, doctors are just giving pills to treat the symptom and not looking at the forest from the trees. Many times I can get people off some of the diuretics and blood pressure medications if we correct how acidic you are. They lose weight, they feel better. And how many people have been on every diet and they do fine, or they're going on such a high-protein diet? It's such a high-protein diet with very little carbs is going to make you more and more acidic. It's going to be 100 to 150 grams of protein, I think, is the wrong type of diet, even though Dr. Atkins did fine for certain people. But over time, the chronic acidification becomes a problem. As we get people less acidic, more alkaline, even the certain vitamins that one could take has to do with, I mean, certain vitamins made my body so acidic it gave me joint pain in 10 minutes. So I wouldn't have known about the connection of acid and alkaline if it wasn't for me suffering from acidity, and me making the connection of things that made me acidic gave me joint pain. But if it makes you acidic, it could trigger yeast, it could give you joint pain, it could trigger your adrenal gland, and the combinations of your stress hormones, your thyroid, your endocrine system, your hormone balance has its major effects. How many people gain weight on just hormone replacement or even birth control pills because it affects thyroid? So we've done shows just on thyroid, talking about there's an epidemic of thyroid problems. Is thyroid related to your weight? Well, it can be. How many people having weight problems and gaining weight, tiredness, cold, brittle nails, dry skin, constipation, muscle aches, on medicines, on Levoxyl and Synthroid, and they think that that's the amount of medications they need to be on? Well, I think that, you know, I have people come to me and they say, well, I don't want to be on thyroid medicine. You need to be on oxygen per day. You can't just get off everything. You need oxygen. It's essential for life. You need the correct amount of thyroid. So if you had stress, or you have Hashimoto's thyroiditis, or you have a nodule that was in your thyroid, or even had any surgery or radiation to your thyroid, the type of medicine you get placed really affects many of the symptoms or how well you are And it's not just treating your blood. Many times you have to treat the patient. So many people having come into us on medicines, feeling all the effects of and the symptoms I just mentioned, surely weight gain is a major impact, and just going on the right thyroid medicine or correcting their adrenal gland or correcting the nutrient intake or the carbohydrate intake or eliminating the food and chemical sensitivities that they have, because all these things end up making your body acidic. So as we correct all those pieces that fit into this puzzle, we move somebody into a more alkaline state, and so many things get better. People are diabetic, many times get off the medications they're on, and we've had people had 300-400 blood sugars get off all oral hypoglycemics. We have people on insulin lower their insulin level 75%. Again, make the body more alkaline, your insulin works better. If your insulin works better, you don't need some of these medications. If your body's acidic, what does that do? Pull calcium right out of bone. You don't need Boniva and Fosamax and many of these medications that have a whole range of side effects but don't make your body more alkaline. Bottom line, doesn't correct the underlying problem. So we have people come in. The side effect is losing weight. They really wanted to lose weight in the first place, but they had some issues. If they had low back pain, they had knee problems, they had arthritis, well, surely we could take care of their knee and back and do some of the reconstructive therapy or the PRP therapy. But it's amazing if we correct their body, they're able to get off medications, they heal faster, they lose weight. Is that going to help their back or their hip or their knee? Well, surely getting rid of taking care of the knee problem, and if you could make them lose weight and feel healthier, heal better, and off half the medicines they're on, isn't that a help? Well, I think that's what integrative alternative medicine's about. And you could access the web, AshCenter.com, and you could get a sense of what we do if you're listening for the first time. As we continue to expand, we're changing that, and people be able to have other solutions that just as they access the web, solutions to various problems. And the e-commerce site will be up soon, and we'll be able to at least give people an idea of what they could do if they can't come into our center to figure out what's going on. But I think that the important message is you need to do more functional tests. How many people come in? They come in. I just had the test done last week. They come in with some tests, and they had a CBC. They had some chemistries. They had an old-fashioned thyroid, and really, it really didn't measure what's going on. You could affect your liver function and not even reflect in that. There's liver detoxification mechanisms. Most people not even checking for acidity. And how many people are just taking the vitamins and they find out they're absorbing 2% or 5% or the combinations of vitamins that they're taking is acidifying. And they're trying to do well. They're probably better than most people taking medications. And that's why I think it's so important to measure the levels, and as we give people the Pure Essential brand, it's actually is shown to make people more alkaline. It's not just designed to give you the vitamins. They're designed where you get 95% absorption versus 4 or 5 or 10% absorption, and it's alkaline forming. Anyway, we're here for the next 2 hours taking your calls, 212-528-0129. You have a problem? Maybe I could be of help. I'm here for the next 2 hours. Give me a call. We'll be right back right after this.
At the Ash Center for Comprehensive Medicine, Dr. Ash integrates the very best of his internal medicine background with the cutting edge of technology in alternative medicine, proven to achieve dramatic and lasting results. Your personal nutritional and biochemical status is assessed through a series of specialized tests to determine your body's reaction to various foods, preservatives, toxic metals, and chemicals. Dr. Ash's ability through reconstructive therapy offers freedom from pain without drugs or surgery for those suffering from joint pain, arthritis, bursitis, low back or neck pain, carpal tunnel syndrome, degenerated discs, torn ligaments, or cartilage. And you'll be amazed with the results, including a full protocol of diet, vitamin therapy, chelation and anti-aging therapy, and non-invasive cardiovascular testing and treatment. Dr. Ash rarely has to resort to chemicals or traditional medicine. Find out what Dr. Ash and the Ash Center for Comprehensive Medicine has to offer you. Telephone 212-758-3200 daily, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. They're located at 800 Fifth Avenue in Manhattan. 212-758-3200.
Okay, we're back. If you're just tuning in, this is Dr. Richard Ashe. We're here till 7 o'clock. Number is 212-528-0129. And we also see that people continue to access our website, theashcenter.com, because we have calls from Ohio. So we will be getting to your calls right after we speak with Barrington. You're on the air, WOR.
Oh, hi, Dr. Hash. How are you?
How are you, sir?
I'm good. I have a problem here. I'm seeking your advice. I am a patient of yours, but it's been a long time I haven't been in your office.
Okay.
I recently took a CAT scan, right? And the report came, I forgot to bring the CAT scan with me, the report with me. But the report says that I have an enlarged heart. So
The CAT scan was a generalized CAT scan, a CAT scan of the lungs, and they saw the heart. The CAT scan was of what?
No, well, the CAT scan was a CAT scan of my chest. That's what the doctor ordered.
And is there a reason why you ordered it first?
Yes. I have a shortness of breath, especially when I eat.
Okay.
So when I got the report, I did some research on the internet, and all the symptoms that are associated with enlarged heart, all of those symptoms I have them: shortness of breath, dizziness, pain in my chest, and things like that. So I am calling you today to see if you can give me some insight.
So let's give us some past history if we have it. When you were in my office, did we do any cardiac test? Did we do an echocardiogram or an EKG many years ago when you were in my office?
Yeah.
Or no?
Yes.
Because when someone has a large heart, there's many different causes. Sometimes people could just have high blood pressure, and what happens when the heart has to work against a higher pressure, it enlarges or dilates, and as it gets bigger, sometimes it could dilate to the point too much so, where then the muscles get too dilated or hypertrophied, and it starts to stretch where it can't have the same contractility, and that's when you start to develop congestive heart failure. If some of the changes are dilating past the point of where they can contract optimally, and therefore they call it congestive heart failure. So doing an echocardiogram, it's nice to do a CAT scan, we see it's enlarged, but we want to do is what's the reason for that? Is it because of a higher blood pressure? We'll talk about if you have hypertension. But some people could have certain valvular diseases, they could have had rheumatic fever, they were younger, they had a heart murmur. Sometimes if you have a heart murmur, some of the chambers can get enlarged, because either there could be backflow against the valve and your heart tries to pump and it gets bigger because it's not pumping properly, or, whether it's the mitral valve or the aortic valve, certain valves could get affected. We easily see it in a 15-minute echocardiogram, which is a non-invasive test. We put jelly on your chest, and we could see the valves, we could see the chambers, we could see the thickness of the chambers, and that gives us one indication of why that could be. Some people, as they get coronary artery disease, as they start to have less blood flow to certain parts of their heart, the heart can get enlarged, and you can get heart failure just from lack of blood flow, or what we call ischemia or coronary artery disease. Surely there's certain viruses and other things that can affect the heart, but in general, a very common source can be hypertension, valvular disease, or coronary artery disease. Are you on any medications? I know you say you're short of breath, and they did a chest CAT scan to see why, but sometimes some of these simple things even before then could give us a clue and track it down. Are you on medications for blood pressure?
No, my blood pressure is okay.
Okay, so are you on any medications for any reason?
No, I'm not on any medication right now.
So they did a CAT scan of your chest, and what did the doctor tell you? Now he saw your large heart. Did he do any other testing to determine your symptoms?
I am supposed to go back to see the doctor But I haven't been back to him since yet. I just went to his office to collect a copy of the report to see what was going on.
Again, you know, sometimes you may not know it's enlarged until you start to get progressive symptoms. Sometimes symptoms of congestive heart failure could be shortness of breath. It could be shortness of breath when you lie flat, where you need to elevate your head at night to prop your head up. Sometimes you can have swelling of the lower extremities in terms of the peripheral edema or swelling in both ankles and legs. So I think that the most useful thing, you got to make the right diagnosis. And now the question is, how do you go about treating it? How many people can even have a virus affect their heart and they can have cardiomyopathy? But again, sometimes medicines are effective. When people have congestive heart failure, there's certain medicines that can improve the contractility of the heart. And there's certain vitamins that can improve the contractility of the heart, such as coenzyme Q10, carnitine, and other things. So I think surely getting the right diagnosis. And that's why I always tell people sometimes it's best to maybe see an integrative alternative doctor that assesses that and then learn, and you can find out how to treat that, because sometimes there's ways to do it without medications or the combinations of both. I mean, I think the patient who has somebody that's experienced in conventional medicine as well as integrative alternative medicine is going to be so much better for the patient than somebody that just doesn't know about all these therapies and just mechanically can give you medications. And sometimes during acute care, sometimes conventional medicine is the best. You know, don't give me herbs till I get into a car accident and take me to the hospital. But as we start to figure these things out, I think that having advantage of both is so more beneficial to you. So I think you need to find out why that your heart's enlarged can be related to your shortness of breath, and it shouldn't take a lot of time if you do some of the right tests. Any follow-up question?
What other tests do you recommend I take?
Well, automatically doing an echocardiogram and an EKG, and then doing the right history will determine what's going on. Looking at the chest x-ray, is the chest x-ray clean? Is the CAT scan of the lung clean? Or is the heart enlargement related to some pulmonary disease that you may not know? But usually between pulmonary and cardiac, it's really not that hard to figure out if you do some of these non-invasive tests to determine the best course of action. But right now it's in the non-specific range, and it could be many, many types of causes. So until we get that test, and we do that at the Ash Heart and Wellness Center, we could, in 15 minutes, get an echocardiogram or any of the cardiovascular tests needed. And that way, in a non-invasive way, we're able to determine the cause and then determine what to do from that point. Appreciate your call. 212-528-0129. We'll break and come right back right after this. Folks, you know I'm over 40 years old, and I know how it feels to see wrinkles on people's faces. I don't have wrinkles yet, but for other people. I want to tell you about a new development that cosmetically reduces fine lines and wrinkles without needles, without a facelift, without collagen injections. It's called Tautinol. And if you're considering drastic surgery or injecting your skin with chemicals to reduce wrinkles, then you need to consider a non-invasive serum that's clinically proven to reduce fine lines and wrinkles that develop as a result of aging. In clinical studies, Tautinol's active ingredient reduced the appearance of wrinkles that cause crow's feet, frown lines, forehead wrinkles by as much as 45%. So if you're considering chemical or collagen injections, consider what science has to offer that's painless. Tautinol is now available without a prescription. To use Tautinol for 60 days, risk-free, call 1-800-297-9858. That's 1-800-297-9858. Even though you're getting older, you don't have to look older. Try Tautinol risk-free for 60 days. Dial 1-800-297-9858. That's 1-800-297-9858. I personally use Tautinol. I enjoy using it. Why don't you get it and try it and see if you agree? 1-800-297-9858. Okay, we're back. Let's speak with Sherry from Ohio. You're on the air, WOR.
Hello, Dr. Ash. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling. How'd you hear about us?
Well, I was doing some research on the drug Nexium on the Internet, and okay. One of your patients actually wrote in how you helped her get off the Nexium after being on it for 10 months. I have been on Nexium for 7 months now, And I've been having several reactions to it. My doctor seems to keep fluffing them off until yesterday. I got a really bad stomach pain, and one of the doctors on call said I should take another Nexium twice, you know, take 40 milligrams twice a day until I can get in to see the doctor. But after reading about all the different side effects of Nexium, I decided not to take it.
You know, many people think I'm taking Nexium for stomach pain, but the point is it could actually cause stomach pain. It could even elevate your liver function. But we'll talk about the problems of Nexium and many drugs like it. I'll let you finish what you're going to say, and then I'll tell you, because most people think they get heartburn, they need to take something to inhibit their acid, but I'll talk about that in a second.
Okay. I've been diabetic for 32 years on insulin.
Okay.
I'm 43 and good control. My last A1C was 7.4.
Okay.
What I originally went in for was asthma symptoms, and they related it to LPR, they called it. I can't even pronounce the word, but it's a reflux condition where you get asthma symptoms. So that's why they prescribed it, thinking that when I had the H1N1 a year ago in October, that may have triggered it. Again, I would love to get off the Nexium. I didn't take it this morning, obviously, because my stomach was I was in so much pain. And I wondered what advice you can give me naturally.
Sure. Now, let's talk about the problem with Nexium. When people actually have heartburn, they automatically go to the doctor, either they have tests or not. But if they have tests, the most common tests are the upper GI series, where you swallow some white oral suspension and they do some x-rays, or they even just put a tube down and look at your stomach and see if there's any polyps, ulcers, reflux, hiatal hernia stuff, and then they don't see very much. They see some irritation, gastritis, and they just give you a medication.
Right.
But when they do that, they're looking for structural issues, not functional issues. So when you have reflux, 95% of the people who have reflux have not enough acid, or they don't digest properly, where the digestives or pancreatic enzymes are off, not because they now need to take a medication to lower the amount of acid in your stomach. But usually with diabetics, many times someone being diabetic for a period of time, they wind up with other issues GI tract-wise. Many times chronic candidiasis or chronic yeast problems just from being diabetic. So therefore, normally you should have 80% good bacteria and 20% bad bacteria. But what happens is it switches, where you have 80% bad bacteria, 20% good, in which breads, pastas, sugars even feed the yeast and can give you heartburn. But before I even go into that explanation, do you get constipation at all?
No.
Do you have any allergies where you think you're sensitive to any foods or chemicals?
Well, I quit drinking pop a year ago. I did enjoy coffee until about 2 weeks ago, but I eat a real healthy diet, no fried foods, lots of fruits and vegetables. There's nothing that I don't tolerate beef, so I quit that about 4 months ago, and now I was down to almost vegetarian the past 2 weeks. So,
did anybody do an upper GI endoscopy to look in your stomach to see before they gave you the Nexium?
No, they just prescribed the Nexium.
Yeah, you know what we do in our office, and I know it's different throughout the country. Almost as a gateway test, we have people come in fasting. We put a belt around them. They swallow a capsule, and we can measure the amount of acid in the stomach and the ability to empty properly. And surely, just doing that can now determine the amount of acid you have. It also can determine how acidic you are. But when you're diabetic, lots of times, as we lower how much insulin they take or even the pills, one could react to certain foods and chemicals. So we'll do a blood test to measure antibodies in their blood, because people come in saying, I eat a healthy diet, but they didn't realize that they had a gluten problem, or they didn't realize they had a sensitivity to milk, and anything with cow created a problem, or they had a mold sensitivity and certain grains caused the problem, or even the pesticide on the fruit caused the problem. They changed to organic food or organic beef. It wasn't a problem. So determining blood test to measure antibodies in the blood could give us a clue if there's certain foods that have a glass type of effect and what you're taking Nexium for. I assume you're not taking any other medications such as over-the-counter Motrin, Advil, or any anti-inflammatory drug for arthritis or joint pain. You see, the first thing you want to do is make sure anything you're taking, vitamins or pills, are not provoking the reaction. Is that the only medication you're on is insulin and was Nexium until now?
No, for years I've been on lisinopril. And
which is a blood pressure medicine, which is most of the time not the cause. Go ahead.
And Synthroid for underactive thyroid.
Okay.
I think it's the lowest dose you can take. So.
Okay, so it's the lowest dosage has diet. And have you been on that recently or been on it long term?
I'm sorry, what diet?
Synthroid has dye in it. The only one that doesn't is the white ones, which is the 50 MCG. Now, you've been on Synthroid for a long time, or they just recently put you on that?
No, since I was about 24 years old, so almost
okay,
about 18.
So you've been on that for a while.
Yeah.
And did they tell you have Hashimoto's thyroiditis, where you have antibodies against your thyroid?
Never told me anything about that, no.
Okay, so when someone has thyroid problems, sometimes you want to find out the cause. And okay. A lot of people wind up being on not enough thyroid, either the Synthroid or not the right form of thyroid. When we determine, and a simple blood test can measure antibodies in the blood, if you had Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which means your body's forming an antibody against your thyroid, that automatically tells me your body's acidic and you're probably having bunch of food and chemical sensitivities. And just doing this for 25 years, we find that a lot of times when people do have these types of problems, they're sensitive to cow. And if we eliminate cow, mozzarella, Parmesan, American, and you've mentioned you can't tolerate beef, maybe, you know, not usually beef, but the products that have cow antigen in it, can produce heartburn and bloating and even trigger your body to attack itself. So my question, just listening to the story, is there a problem with cow that if you have these products could cause heartburn? Again, I know I'm confusing you at a certain point, but the bottom line is what you eat can have a glass type effect. Your ability to digest and absorb has to do with, you know, you're not needing Nexium because Nexium only inhibits your stomach acid. Most of the time, it's not going to be the cause unless you're really making so much acid, and that you could find out from an upper GI or a gastroenterologist. But most of the time, you don't want to take the medicine if it's low acid. The type of diet that you have, surely any higher protein, low carb, and eliminating some of the provoking agents. And then being on the right vitamins to balance the good bacteria. So if we put someone on a diabetic pack by Pure Essentials, it actually has certain vitamins to make your body more alkaline. It has probiotics to balance the good bacteria. And if you follow more of an alkaline diet and eliminate breads, pastas, sugars, which you probably are, and eliminate some of the offending items, and especially cow, it could be helpful. So I think surely you want to make sure there's no polyp, no ulcers, nothing else. And obviously, you know, you had Nexium and that was a problem. We just don't want to go to another drug unless you know what's going on. I wrote a book on irritable bowel syndrome, and sometimes it could be just abdominal pain and thinking it's acid reflux. What your doctor may not tell you about irritable bowel, how to eliminate symptoms and live a pain-free life, because so many people, about 35 million Americans, have irritable bowel. They go to an upper GI doctor, he does all the testing, and they place them on Nexium or some medication to help with either the cramps, constipation, diarrhea, or heartburn. Books by Warner Books, and it's been out for about a few years. When they introduced the American diet to China, they wanted to translate this into Chinese because they started to develop irritable bowel. But I think seeing an integrative alternative doctor that's experienced in this area that could evaluate this way or read the book, and a lot of people just get better just from the book, and it goes through some of the things in detail what I'm talking about now. But we have an epidemic of protonics and taking Nexium and taking medications just to mask the symptom, and it really doesn't treat it. Just like giving you morphine with a nail on your foot, the morphine doesn't treat the nail. And the nail gets deeper. Got to get at the cause of the problem. You don't need medications most of the time. Will I use medications? Absolutely. But if I could accomplish the issue and take care of the problem without it or get people off medications, that's the preferred route. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate your calling. 212-528-0129. Stay tuned for Harvey Rosenblum, our resident ophthalmologist.
Presenting The Eyes Have It. with Harvey S. Rosenblum, M.D., our resident ophthalmologist, who shares with us each week updated medical information on preserving and prolonging healthy eyesight. But first, no matter what eye problems you may experience, glaucoma, cataracts, diabetes, macular disorders, the need for new prescription, even plastic and cosmetic surgery of the eyelids, ease your concern and receive the finest care from one of the nation's leading ophthalmologists. He's Dr. Harvey S. Rosenblum, Medical and Surgical Director of the Rosenblum Eye Centers, located in Manhattan, Brooklyn, and Queens. Dr. Rosenblum cares about you and your eyes in a patient-friendly atmosphere. His offices use state-of-the-art equipment and highly trained personnel. For superb eye care, go no further than the Rosenblum Eye Centers. Get a free eye screening by calling 1-800-775-EYES for the center nearest you. 1-800-775-3937. When it comes to your eyes, focus in on the Rosenblum Eye Centers because seeing is believing. Call 1-800-775-3937. And now, Dr. Rosenblum.
Does LASIK vision correction result in an increased risk of retinal detachments? So far, the retinal experts believe that the answer is no. However, it is exactly this population, the nearsighted individuals, who are at greater risk for retinal tears or detachments. It is important that the preoperative LASIK testing include a thorough exam of the retinal periphery so that predisposing conditions such as lattice degeneration or small non-symptomatic retinal holes can be evaluated and treated as necessary before LASIK surgery. A waiting period of at least 6 to 12 weeks is advised between retinal treatments and LASIK surgery.
Thank you, Dr. Rosenblum. Friends, don't neglect nature's most precious gift, your eyes. Get a free eye screening from a skilled, caring eye specialist, Harvey S. Rosenblum, M.D. Telephone 1-800-775-EYES tomorrow. Dr. Rosenblum returns next Sunday with another of The Eyes Have It.
Okay, let's speak with Robert. You're on the air, W-O-R.
How are you doing, Dr. Ash?
Good.
Okay, actually, my call is somewhat similar to the young lady. Part of the problem is, in fact, I have a gamut of a lot of little different things going on, but for a long time I've had a problem with my gut. And I just had an endoscopy a few weeks ago, and it's exactly what the doc said. You have a fairly large hiatal hernia, and you have some gastritis. Now, he says, if you watch your diet and stuff, I won't really push the acid blocker and this and that. Important. He knows I'm, you know, holistic minded, and I'm aware of like taking different things to kind of soothe the stomach, like DGL and aloe vera and things
right.
like that. But you know, with this, I also have like a feeling of queasiness, you know, like a little nauseousness, and you know, I feel like fatigued. I feel more tired. But I've had a gamut of tests, doc. You know, through my regular primary care physician. To even like I follow up with like an alternative, he's a naturopathic doctor, you know, for the past 5 years. So like after a while, I feel like saying, you know, whoa, you know, this is enough. I'm so tired of taking different tests all the way from like a sleep study because I'm tired during the day, even though I, you know, I'm in bed enough, I might not be getting the quality of the sleep. I have like periodic limb movement, they call it, I guess something like restless leg.
Right.
I exercise, you know, sufficiently. You know, I push myself to exercise. It's not like I have exuberant amount of energy, you know, but I do exercise. I run. I do resistance training.
So you're sort of falling through the cracks. You're still tired doing all these tests.
Yeah.
You kind of don't know what's going on.
Exactly. I brain fog. You know, I'll be 63. I'm not as sharp. You know, I'm
so
a college graduate.
So it becomes a challenge. You know, when you get like that, you do some of the basic tests. Sometimes doing more functional tests give you a clue or giving you enough of the different things that add up to the total picture. How many people just have low testosterone and all the symptoms you just mentioned could be symptoms of having a low testosterone at the age of 62. You go to your doctor, he doesn't know what to do with it because it's, you know, they're more treating hormone replacement with synthetic hormones for women. But is it related to testosterone or is it related to your adrenal gland? When we do certain testing, and I think your question was what type of tests can you do beyond the normal physical, many doctors will just do liver function, kidney function, anemia, basic thyroid. You can miss thyroid and be not looking at the right test and may do more sensitive thyroid tests. But you got to put the whole picture together. And sometimes treat the patient, not just the blood test, because we've had patients just like you come in. All the tests were normal, and we found out the thyroid was slightly enlarged. We did a sonogram of the thyroid and found out they had antibodies to your thyroid. And, hey, the person really had hypothyroidism, didn't know it. Or they had a little nodule in their thyroid, and it was suppressing function, or they had a situation where the body was attacked. Their thyroid. We have other people that were debilitated and they do all the testing. And we did a bunch of tests. We couldn't find it until we did the more sensitive gluten test, where we diagnosed 53 people this year that had gluten enteropathy when they have any grain, whether it's wheat, barley, oats, and those types of glutens. They either had stomach problems, queasiness, and they got tired or debilitated. We had one person lick somebody's spoon from their cereal in their bed for 3 weeks. So picking up 53 people this year on the 5 tests we do for gluten enteropathy, that the GI tract and the brain fog and the symptomatology, they would have missed. And the minute we changed it, everything cleared up. And then they found that they can't have these things. How about when we do certain testing? We'll do certain testing to measure antibodies in your blood. I had joint pain from organic carrots. So you could be eating healthy and you may not know the reaction. So there's various tests that one needs to do based on what they come in for. When I measure saliva tests with people that are chronically tired, and we have a lot of achievers that are doing well, they made a lot of money, then they can't enjoy the business even though they burnt themselves out. And they come in with OCD, attention deficit disorder, brain fog, sleep disturbance, where they're not, you said you did a sleep study, where they may not have sleep apnea, but they may not get into rapid eye movement sleep, REM sleep. And when we do a saliva test, we could see their cortisol levels not shutting down at night. And the minute we change that, and there's lots of ways of doing it, from alkaline baths to light therapy to nutrient therapy to intravenous vitamin C infusions, and give them the right diet and make them body more alkaline and being on the right nutrients that are alkaline forming, surely like the Pure Essential brand, tremendous help. And other people may be getting repeatedly hypoglycemic in the middle of the night or tired during the day because they've been up all night with volatility of blood sugar. Or it could range from just missing Lyme disease and not dealing with the immune confidence that relates to that. But that's the challenge of when you see an integrative alternative doctor, to figure out which functional test, not the standard test that most times have to be, you have to lose 80% function before it shows up. To give an example, you do a liver function, you're on a statin. You have to damage the liver 80% before you know the statin's causing a problem. That's the other question. Are you on medications right now, like statins or cholesterol-lowering drugs or any medicines?
Actually, Doc, I'm not on any medication. I just take nutrients. And just to respond to what you were saying, you know, I had even some of these other tests. My testosterone is fine. My free is a little low. My testosterone is in the 600s. I had also a saliva test.
Right.
And it showed actually my cortisol is low. It's all on
well,
the low
no.
side.
So therefore, if it's low, that tells me you're probably getting your sheet. There should be no reason to have low cortisol in the morning or any time throughout the day, and surely it should be low to now allow you to sleep. But if it's below the line, it's telling us you may be in stage 3 or 4 of adrenal fatigue, where your body can't compensate and can't put out cortisol on demand. So when someone is like that, many times they don't get REM sleep. They get drops in blood sugar. They get hypoglycemia. They get fatigue and sometimes associated with fibromyalgia. And when it starts to get worse over time, they can have mood swings, depression, and brain fog. So sometimes that can give us a key. I for those types of people, you know, I like to put them on the chronic fatigue back by Pure Essential, which is a much higher quality nutrients that you mostly could get. And I like to combine that with what we call nutritious and delicious, which is a protein powder, because they're waking up hypoglycemic. It's something that has 2 grams of fat, 178 calories, between 19 and 24 grams of carbs, but it gives them 5 hours of sustained energy and satisfaction with the right amount of potent protein fiber and beneficial fiber to really make them feel, because you stop making them hypoglycemic, then they have some energy and wherewithal even take care of themselves. Sometimes you really get burnt out. But there's a lot of different things you can do. And again, you know, you sometimes, if you get to a certain point, it may be useful to then get another, even from a consultation point of view, get another viewpoint. So, you know, there's certain things that that you've accomplished, but I think sometimes, depending on what test you've done, there's ways to tweak it. I know that, you know, I had similar symptoms of you, and I needed to change my diet. I needed to be on different nutrients that are more alkaline-forming, even though I thought I was taking the right items. I wasn't digesting or absorbing properly, so I wasn't getting the full benefit of what I was taking until I started using the Pure Essential brand. So I'm sort of biased because of my great response when it wasn't that well to other brands. So therefore, by improving my digestion absorption, by making my body more alkaline and doing intravenous vitamin therapy, I was able to get off some of the steroids I was stuck on for 2.5 years. So I think that everybody's different. You got to treat them based on their individual needs. And sometimes you can meet somebody just like you. You've done all the tests, and then you find out there's heavy metal issues in terms of mercury, arsenic, lead, aluminum, that you either didn't have a history to think of. But sometimes you got to march down the line to do other testing to find out. If you haven't got somebody better, there's a reason. You haven't got to the cause, and you got to then get to the cause and do enough of the things to push them back into a healthy response, make their body less acidic, more alkaline, and improve their immune competence. So I think, in general, there's always reasons for that, and as you start to improve them significantly enough, then you're able to feel a difference. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate you calling. 212-528-0129. Let's speak with Ellen. You're on the air, WOR.
Thank you, Dr. Ash. Can you suggest anything that may be helpful in reducing high serum creatinine in renal failure in a 49-year-old male?
Well, that's tough. You know, when someone is, that's what creatinine is. It's a measurement of kidney function. How high a creatinine is it?
Right now it's 6 point something.
Now, is he on dialysis now?
Yes, he is. He's hoping that sometime in the future he may be able to get off dialysis.
Yeah, I think that surely as somebody starts to, I mean, surely kidney transplantation is a way. I wish there was a magical cure to say, hey, take this, we can lower your creatinine or improve your kidney function. But when kidney function starts to fail, it becomes very difficult to do different things. And even the medications have to be altered based on his kidney function. Even vitamins have to be altered based on kidney function. So it becomes difficult because that limits it. The two limitations are kidney function and liver function. So therefore, it becomes tough to give you something that could reverse something. Then again, it depends on what the reason for the kidney function was. Some people could have a kidney stone and then they're blocked their kidneys and they have hydronephrosis. Some people have various types of kidney diseases. Some people could have elevated kidney function just from medications. So it all depends on what the reason is, but the most likely thing that's probably going to give him some liberty or get away from dialysis is to, the renal transplant program as a way to, if he's able to get a donation of an organ of a kidney so it could function in his body if the match is appropriate. Appreciate your call. 212-528-0129. Let's speak with Iris. You're on the air, WOR.
Yes, doctor. Two short questions. I wanted to ask you, I have a tendency to jump when I hear not such a loud noise. I mean, it could be a loud noise, but I don't see anybody else is jumping around me. And I'm wondering if I'm missing something, if I have too much or too little of something. That's question one.
So when I hear that, that gives me a whole chain of thoughts to possibly have, in other words, when someone doesn't have the ability to, I mean, many people living in high traffic areas, high noise areas, high stress areas, many times their body, just from the noise, from the stress, from other things going on, could now allow your body to get past a certain point in which your ability to absorb that versus, you know, a honking horn startles you, is that it gives me a clue of your adrenal glands' reserve capacity. Again, if you're compensating well, you don't have that response. But as you start to slip down the slope of energy, sleep disturbance, or getting the true REM sleep, drops in blood sugar, fatigue, as you start to go down the ability for the adrenal gland to put out cortisol and adrenaline, the impact of that, you don't have the same shock absorption. If anything, it's more startling, more reactive, less. It's just you don't have the reserve capacity. You squeeze a lemon 500 times. The juice that comes out is there to help you for fight or flight or emergencies. But when you squeeze it 500 times, you don't have that reserve capacity. That same type of person will have the same symptom you have. What's your second to see if it's related to the first, to see if we can figure this out?
I developed on my fingers, I mean, I've had it for a long time, my toenail fungus, but on my fingers, on both hands, I've developed paronychia. And I went to a dermatologist, and he injected me incredibly painful. I don't know what he used, got a little bit better. Mm-hmm. On the right hand, the left hand, the index finger is bad. And the truth of the matter is I don't want to go back for those injections. So the family doctor suggested, he said there's a very expensive medication. I think
You don't want to take the antifungal medications.
The antifungal is what he suggested. Yeah, I was taking injections.
I know that, but you don't want to do that because the minute the medicines wear off, you're going to wind up with the problem again, and there's toxic effects on the liver, et cetera. So therefore, now you're describing something else, and some of these people can have the same reactions. When someone has chronic candida or yeast problems, it can affect their stomach, it can affect their nails, it can affect their brain fog, it affect their energy and concentration. People are tired. They're getting bloated. Are you on any other medications of any kind now or nothing?
No, I'm not, but I also developed very bad dandruff.
Well, again, this is all consistent. Sometimes having had an antibiotic, sometimes having had an operation or they gave you antibiotics, or sometimes other things, sometimes on what we call iatrogenic, doctor gives you a medication or even a steroid for allergy. That could be anything that could have triggered yeast, or even just like the prior caller who was on Nexium for acid reflux. You give somebody Nexium for a couple of months, they wipe up enough of the good bacteria where you wind up having chronic candida problem. And if you have a yeast problem, candida problem, food chemical sensitivities or allergy problem for a period of time, your body gets acidic. Sometimes it affects your digestion to the point where you could have fungal nails on your toes and have even a whitish tongue. And sometimes you could have food allergies. You could have constipation or bloating. You could have many of the symptoms of candidiasis, including sleep issues, stress issues, reactivity, and you just don't feel well. It's called chronic yeast or chronic candidiasis, in which we put people on a more alkaline diet. The yeast-free diet is almost an impossible diet to be on. We don't like to use nystatin, Sporinox, Diflucan, because what is that going to do? It's going to kill the yeast, but it's going to come right back. And people say, well, why? Well, again, I give the analogy. If you have mold in a basement and I spray chemicals to kill the mold, that's M-O-L-D, the mold gets killed. And the minute the chemicals wear away, it comes right back. Why? Because the basement is damp, the reason why it was there in the first place. Very hard for mold to grow in a dry basement. So when someone has candidiasis, we do certain testing. They come in for simple absorption tests. When they come in fasting, we give them certain vitamins like the Candida Pack by Pure Essential. Vitamins to put them on certain nutrients so the good bacteria is populated and the bad bacteria is normalized, where yeast and bacteria can't grow. So we don't need the antifungal drugs because we want to normalize that and improve their diet at the same time. So by improving digestion, improving absorption, making the body more alkaline, and putting them on the Candida Pack, many times it takes a full year for the nails to grow back. because the nutrition and the growth of that nail is a year's growth. So as the, in 3 to 6 months, they start to see the pink part of the nail come back. And as it grows out, the fungal part grows out, and you don't need to take something like injections or antifungal drugs as a way to correct it. It's called chronic candidiasis. And if you have any of these things, usually it comes from either birth control pills, medications, steroids, antibiotics, hospitalizations, and there's ways to take care of it without just taking medications that you'll have to be on, which never corrects the underlying problem. So see an integrative alternative doctor that can address these simple issues. It's not very hard. Again, very rarely will I ever need an antifungal drug. And I had one patient that wouldn't listen to me a bunch of years ago. I think it was 2007. I said, do not go on these drugs. You're just not gonna, and he had problems with medications. He went on the drug, didn't listen, and he really got debilitated by the drug. So I think that you always want to pick lower risk, higher gain type of approaches and leave the more riskier types of treatments in case you can't produce those effects. Appreciate your call. 212-528-0129. Let's speak with, let's see who's next. Let's speak with Jean. You're on the air, WOR.
Hello, doctor.
Hi.
My both arms and my legs are very dark, like a black person, and my both arms hurt me, and the palm of my hands got all like needles and pins. What could it be that my arms changed like that?
You ever watch the show Name That Tune? You know, go back many years ago, they used to play two notes of a song,
yes.
And you got two notes, and you got to name that tune. Well, this is almost like Name That Tune with hardly any notes, but you're giving me some information. Sounds like some sort of pigmentation, and you got some sort of pain. That's as many notes as I got. Now, the question is, are you on any medications, new medication that could have now caused a side effect, or you've been on the same medication for years?
Same pressure medicine.
So no new medications?
No.
So I think that, do you have any other health issues?
No.
Besides this?
No.
So again, you know, you need to be seen by a doctor, or maybe an integrative alternative doctor, because if you're having any darkening of your skin, it makes me think of various types of pigmentation type disorders. Now, if that's occurring, some people can get hyperpigmentation of the skin, and there's all different types of causes for that. Why your arms are hurting? You know, again, there's certain tests that need to be done to go further with the right history, with the right blood test and testing. Then you can make a proper diagnosis. But you go to a dermatologist, say, I got a rash. What is it? It's kind of tough to kind of guess what it is. Pigmentation has all different types of causes. You know, is it something where there's darkening of the skin, where there's nevi, and there can be other areas that need a skin biopsy to determine that, or is it related to a metabolic disorder? Very hard to figure out just on the air. So see an integrative alternative doctor or an internist or somebody else that could at least evaluate you and determine what the next step is. Appreciate your call. Let's speak with David. All right, we got about 90 seconds, Dave, if you can ask quickly.
Dr. Ash?
Yes.
Hi. I have a background about 18 months ago of a kidney infection that was treated in the hospital for about a week with intravenous antibiotic.
Okay.
And a urinary tract infection.
Okay.
And I have, they wouldn't release me from the hospital until the creatinine had lowered considerably.
Okay.
Down to a safe level. And
I got about 60 seconds. Ask your question. And
okay.
Maybe I can find
okay.
Out.
Right
so
now.
So you're trying to find out what?
Okay. Right now, I'm getting a low reading very currently, and it's GFR, which is kidney infection, I believe.
Okay.
Do you know that term, GFR?
Well, the glomerular filtration rate, but your creatinine and BUN is okay right now?
The creatinine is
all right. We're going to be interviewing Dr. Alex Duarte at 6 o'clock. We'll be taking our calls, so maybe best to call back at 6:30. We can continue our conversation then. But we're here till 7 o'clock. Alex Duarte is great to listen to. We'll be right back taking your questions and calls at 212-528-0129.
There are medical doctors who practice traditionally, and there are those totally into alternative therapy. Now, when you consult with our Dr. Ash, you have the best of both worlds. Trained in traditional medicine, then exposed to and schooled in alternative therapy, Dr. Ash treats his patients with the devoted time and attention using what is best for them from both modalities, and interchangeably as required. You get individualized, comprehensive attention because Dr. Ash feels that we're all individually and biologically unique, and treatment must be based on that absolute fact. In addition, Dr. Ash treats every single patient himself, so there's no such practice as not being able to deal one-on-one with the doctor. And by the way, the Ash Center for Comprehensive Medicine at 800 Fifth Avenue at 61st Street is open daily 7 a.m. till 7 p.m., and you're welcome to call for information or appointment at any time. Call 212-758-3200.